This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Swinging a high drive in the center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Testy. It is episode 155. We're on to December. The quiet period. If you're listening to this, that means the quiet period that is Thanksgiving weekend is finally over. I love Thanksgiving weekend. It's one of the best time off periods of the year. 4.5 days of just being with friends, being with family. Everyone's home. All your friends that moved away are now back home with your families. You get to see friends from your past. It's so great. The one thing that sucks is that we want baseball rumors. Like, the Red Sox are in on all of these things, and it doesn't happen. And we're going to get into everything that may or may not have happened throughout that entire period of time. But just know this is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, remember, hit the subscribe button wherever you're getting your podcasts. Subscribe, 5 stars, wherever you're getting them, Odyssey, Spotify, Apple, everywhere. 5 stars, subscribe, and go to YouTube on the WEEI channel. You can get all of our shows there on the Play Testy playlist. You can hit the thumbs up on the videos. Obviously, much appreciated. And you can find us on the socials at Play Testy on Twitter and Instagram. And you couldn't have guessed it, but this is going to be a Juan Soto podcast. This is going to be a Juan Soto Red Sox podcast. It's me and Pat today. Sammy is on a red eye coming back from San Francisco. So he's up in the air right now. But Pat and I are going to break down everything that happened throughout this crazy period of time on Red Sox Twitter. It's just so funny because, like, if you're a Red Sox fan that's not on Twitter and not in the depths of these things, like, not that much probably happened in your head. But if you're on Red Sox Twitter, everything happened. It was crazy. But Pat, I'll give you the choice here. I'll give you the choice because guess what? Like, we can tell you definitively about some of these things that came out, which are BS and which aren't. What do you want to go through the BS first, or do you want to go through the real stuff first?
I think it's better to sift out the BS stuff and then kind of end on, I guess, what could be deemed a high note.
Okay. I think that's a good idea. All right, I've written everything down. We'll go through what we know is BS. All right, here we go. Also, Pat, I might be echoing on your side. You might want to mute when I'm talking, or maybe get headphones or something. I don't know. I'll sift through some BS here. On Twitter, on Thanksgiving morning of all times, this guy tweets that Juan Soto and the Red Sox have agreed to terms, 12-year deal. And it's a done deal. And the reason this got traction, this got a ton of traction, because this guy, like a week earlier, had tweeted out that Jim Montgomery was fired. And then a couple hours later, wouldn't you know it, Jim Montgomery got fired. He also tweeted something about Porzingis is not important, but he got that right too. The thing that's noteworthy is the Porzingis thing, it was about his minutes played and his role in the game, like easy to predict. And the Jim Montgomery thing, a little bit harder timing-wise to predict it, but like everyone thought he was going to get fired. So I think that's worth noting too. But obviously he says this thing about Soto, and he's doubling down all day. Even when Jeff Passan on Thanksgiving at 3:30 p.m. comes out and denies it. So Pat, before we get into the next phase of this with the Kirk show, because that happened too, did you buy it? Like, how much did you actually buy into the Mick thing as it happened?
When I read it, I was like, oh, really? I kind of bought it. And then I thought about it, sat on it, didn't entirely buy it. And then I think once I like dug up a little bit, looked at what he's reported in the past, it just didn't make sense. And then him doubling down so emphatically, to me, was just like he's trying to cover his butt. Like that, it just, to me, nothing came off authentic. And I just didn't really believe it an hour after I saw it, really.
The thing about the Mick report that you have to understand logically, like journalism 101, like think about it. He has quote unquote sources at TD Garden that tell him that Jim Montgomery got fired. Okay, who are his sources with the Red Sox? Like, how is he all the sudden? And guess what? Since then, he's now tweeted that Deion Sanders is going to get extended to Colorado. Like, this guy's throwing, he's throwing stuff at the wall, and he's hoping it sticks. Obviously, you read the words. That's what's tough, is you read the words, Juan Soto and the Red Sox are in agreement, and every single party wants to believe it because you just want it so badly. But the truth is, it's just, why would he have it? And no other media outlet has it. Why would he have it? And then 2 hours later, after this tweet has gazillions of likes and views, and media people are certainly like people who are journalists are checking in and are not tweeting anything, probably because they're hearing no. And of course, Jeff Passan hits the slam dunk and says no himself. The last thing that we'll touch on this, because I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's nonsense, but. And I can tell you that, like, with confidence, that the Mick report is not true. Kirk Minahan. So I guess this guy is a connection to Kirk Minahan. So Kirk Minahan released a show on Friday on his show on Barstool and said that he talked to a Red Sox insider that told him that the Mick report might not be wrong. So I have my ways. I know exactly who he's talking about, this Red Sox insider that he's talking about, that he says told him that the Mick report might not be wrong. That's not true. I know who he talked to. I talked to the guy that he talked to, and the guy that he talked to told me that he did not say that. So I don't know where Kirk is getting that from. It seems like he's shit-stirring. I don't know. I'm just telling you right now, you can hear from me. Pat will echo it. The Mick report is wrong. I'm not saying the Red Sox aren't getting Juan Soto, but I'm just telling you that he is not signed right now, at least as of this recording. And he certainly was not signed on Thanksgiving morning, as Mick reported. And he's going to double down. He's going to keep gaining followers. I'm just saying, if don't believe it, I'm just telling you it's not true. Pat, anything to add there before we move on to some of the other nonsense and then get to the real stuff?
Yeah. It also, like, I could already see what's going to happen. If they do miss out on Soto, he's going to quote tweet his initial report. Oh, they had a deal, and then the last second, the Mets came in with another option. They had a verbal agreement. It's going to be some giant excuse to cover his butt. He was right, but it just didn't happen. And yeah, I will echo you. The report is 100% a fallacy. It is not correct.
Yeah, and we have that on good authority. Not that we need to have it on good authority, but we have it on good authority. If you have it on good authority with Jeff Passan. Some people still choose to believe him because obviously it's what we all want. But yeah, when Jeff Passan tells you no deal is signed, I think you can confidently believe him and not beyond whatever Mick. Let's see. Some of the other bullshit. Yeah, after the Mick thing, like there was like 100 different tweets reporting an agreement. Obviously, all those were wrong. And then there was the funny one was the guy who said that Soto's sister was touring apartments in Boston. Also, no reason to believe that. That guy, everyone goes back and sees that he said that Gerrit Cole's sister was doing the same thing. He also said that Gerrit Cole was going to sign with the Yankees for $250 million, and he had that as a done deal. Cole signed for $324 million. Another example of a guy throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks. So, I don't know. Anyone who's saying that a deal is done or a deal is close, like, oh, another one. If the Twitter account Gleniel Garcia comes into your feed, you should just block that guy. Get that guy as far away from your feeds as possible, because another example of a guy just shitposting for attention, trying to make you think he's got insight and sources. He doesn't. We know this for a fact. Get that guy out of your timelines. Like, probably the worst one, if we're being honest.
Yeah. First off, Marino sucks. Gleniel sucks. Apologies. Next off, the real estate one, when I saw that initially, I was like, that's an interesting thing to make up. So I clicked on it. I didn't believe it, but I clicked on it. And someone was like, how do you know this? And he replied, realtors are very friendly. It's just a simple phone call. I'm like, all right, this is BS. Like, no one's calling about other clients.
Dude calls every realtor in the state of Massachusetts. Like, hey, is anyone with the last name Soto looking at apartments?
Yeah. And I'm like the thing that's like so crazy. And like one thing I want to say about like the Thanksgiving lull news-wise, it is like an insane asylum. You are left alone with not only your own thoughts, but other people's thoughts that you're reading on Twitter. So any noise is like true noise. And everyone's like, Monday is going to be like back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Yep.
We'll get some Rosenthal. We'll get some Passan. We'll get some Olney. We'll get some Kylie McDaniel. We'll get the guys back and we'll get some concrete stuff. But for this like 4 or 5 day period, people were believing anything and everything they were reading, and it was just it was chaos. There's no other way to describe it.
Red Sox Twitter melted down. There's no other way to put it. And to be, it melted down to the point where obviously like I have fans or I have friends that are fans of other teams that are going after Soto. I've got Yankee fan friends. I got Met fan friends. I've got Blue Jay fan friends. And they're all texting me like, what the hell is going on with your fan base right now? Because people everyone is tweeting that their source says a deal is done. And if you're not tweeting that your source says a deal is done, you're believing the person that's tweeting that its source says the deal is done. We went insane for a little bit. I think, and by we, I mean this fan base as a whole. The Red Sox fans have been told that big things are coming, and they've been told that, hey, guess what? They're fishing in the deepest part of the deep end. And we're desperate for news. And I get it. I'm desperate for it too. Pat's desperate for it. Sammy's desperate for it. Joe's desperate for it. We're all desperate for it. But this quiet period that is Thanksgiving weekend, as much as I love it, I'm glad that it's over. I'm glad that we can get to now the week before the winter meetings, which should be the week of Juan Soto. And then we'll get to the winter meetings, which should be the week of everything else. Like, buckle up. It's getting going. Let's get to the stuff that I don't want to say that like we know it's true or whatnot, but the stuff that's coming from people that you actually have reason to believe. So the thing that got me excited on Thanksgiving, it was back-to-back tweets from two different people, Mike Rodriguez, Mike Deportes, and Hector Gomez, who both reliable Hispanic reporters have both broken stories, been credited by the outlets that you know for having broken those stories. It's not a Marino Pepin situation with these guys. Like, these guys are real reporters. And Mike Rodriguez, he said the Red Sox had a 12-year, $600 million deal on the table for Soto, and that Soto spoke for an hour with Devers and is interested in the idea of going to the Red Sox. Hector Gomez quote tweeted that and said, I'm actually hearing 13 years, $625 million. And then after, this is a couple days later, in New York, Randy Miller of NJ.com goes on WFAN, the New York radio station. And Randy Miller, if you ask Yankee fans, especially after this report that I'm about to tell you, if you don't know about already, they'll tell you that he's full of shit. And maybe he is. I think there's been a lot of stuff that he's been questionable about in the past. But for what it's worth, when Buster Olney tweeted that contract offers were going to come in the coming week, he went at Buster and said, actually, no, like offers are already in. And he was right. So take this for what it's worth. He said that the Yankees offer is topping out at $550 million. And there are 2 to 3 $600+ million offers on the table as it stands for Soto. He said it's likely going to come down to Red Sox and Mets, and that he thinks that the Yankees right now are most afraid of the Red Sox. And another reason why maybe you should read into this a little bit is that friends of the program, Ed Hand and Justin MLB, both tweeted similar sentiments last week and said that the Yankees aren't feeling that confident and it might be Mets and Red Sox. And Steve Peralta also cryptically tweeted something kind of alluding to the same thing. So all of that is on Twitter. All of that, it's not like it's coming from like Jeff Passan and Passan saying these things, but it's coming from people who have gotten legitimate things in the past. And so when people like that tweet things, I think it's a little bit more worth reading into. So Pat, the way I want to attack this is we need to vibe check it right now and give our playtesty kind of state of the nation about where this stands. Because we see these reports. These reports are really optimistic. But one thing I'll say here, just to pump the brakes a little bit, is that people that I trust, that I know have the right info, I'll say that maybe we should pump the brakes a little bit on the Soto to Boston optimism. So take that for what it's worth too. I've now thrown out there good things, good reports, positive Soto to the Red Sox reports, and then I poured cold water on it a little bit. Pat, I want a vibe check from you here. How are you feeling? Because guess what? Like, this bomb could drop at any point. Like, we could emergency podcast tomorrow about a signed agreement with Juan Soto to the Red Sox, to the Mets, to the Yankees, to the Blue Jays, to the Dodgers. Where's your head at with this?
I think last time we gauged it, I think I was at 20%. I think that was where I was last time we did this. Obviously, we know a little bit more than we did, whatever it was, a week or two ago. I think I still stand pretty firmly at that 20. I'm confident enough to say that they are in the top three. I am pretty confident that it is the Red Sox, the Dodgers, and the Mets.
Dodgers?
Oh, sorry, not the Dodgers, Yankees. Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa,
I was like, oh, interesting.
Red Sox, Yankees, Mets. I am pretty confident those are the top three. I don't think people understand how much Steve Cohen might be willing to do to get Juan Soto. Because, yes, the Sox in a vacuum with the luxury tax can absolutely spend up to that. You also have other holes to address. Like, you coming into the offseason, the one thing, or sorry, two things that we truly, really wanted were Tyler O'Neill back or a right-handed bat, an ace and a closer. We needed like three things. We're like, get those done. Good offseason. Juan Soto comes in. Everything's out the window. We need Juan Soto. We need Juan. Like, I get it. I want Juan Soto just as much as everybody. But the Mets have a very good roster as is. They can absolutely pay Juan Soto whatever it takes to get him. Not that the Red Sox can't, but Steve Cohen definitely can. And then they have the easiest pivot of all time and say, oh, yeah, got Juan Soto. Corbin Burns will re-sign Sean Manaea. And like, the Mets know that they need him. And I think that is being slept on. The Mets, in my eyes, are the favorite. I do think that the Red Sox and the Yankees are actually pretty neck and neck for that second slot, though.
It's been a little quiet with the Mets, hasn't it? Like, we heard,
but eerily. eerily quiet.
No, but that's what I'm saying is, like, it's almost a good thing, I think. And I'll tie it to the Yankees too. I just remember when Aaron Judge was a free agent and there was pessimism coming from the Yankees about their chances of getting Aaron Judge back. And then there was the, he's close with the Giants. And then John Heyman says he's going to the Giants. And then all of a sudden the Yankees step in, up the offer, and it's done. I wouldn't put it past them to be doing kind of the same thing here. Something seems fishy if they're leaking that they're only willing to go up to 550 and others are out there with 600. Like, something just doesn't add up with that. I just don't think we've seen the last of them. Bat?
The other thing that's throwing me, so, like, the bullshit rumors aside, like the Marinos, the Glenials, the, like, all that out the window. The only really, like, good or convincing news that has come out is from Hector, who I agree Hector is very reliable. He deserves
respect. Like, yes, I think Red Sox fans, there was a Twitter account that, like, I want to like, and it's basically, like, named itself like the Glenniel Garcia, Marino Pepin, Mick and Hector hater, and it's like, yes, you're close, but Hector doesn't deserve to be in there. Hector's a real reporter.
Hector had the initial Rafael Devers contract extension. Like, he's had legit scoops. He's very reliable with all the DR guys. That is one thing that historically he has been very consistent with, is the DR guys. So that was convincing. Mike Rodriguez, another one, very reliable. He's been given credit by, like, passing several times. Those two are reliable. The one thing that really freaks me out is the only reports that are like the Red Sox might be the favorite seems to be coming out of New York, which is not good.
Yeah, I agree with that, Pat.
That seems like throwing bait in the water. Because if you have Randy Miller, who, whatever it may be, respected, not respected, whatever, he is on SNY, he is doing radio show, like, he is a credible enough reporter to have this platform. And if he's throwing out two Yankee fans, the Yankees are afraid of the Red Sox, are probably the favorite, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, and you can look back. I had maybe like 150,000 Yankee fans in my comments when I posted the report, sending me the screenshot of him saying similar things about Aaron Judge with the Giants, saying that he thinks the Giants are the favorites for Judge back in that free agency. I don't blame them for it. If his reporting has led to that in the past, I understand why you'd be skeptical, especially when it maybe doesn't add up. Like, sometimes, and I'll go back to the Mets here, sometimes the easiest answer and the most logical answer just is the answer. The Mets are going to offer the most money. That's why I remain so skeptical about it.
Gordo, that what you just said right there, the easiest answer is often the right answer. That is Occam's razor.
Oh, yeah, the Alex Spear thing.
Yep, that is the definition.
Okay, Occam's razor right there. Like, go back. You were saying it, Pat. You were talking about desperation. Who is going to be the most desperate? The Yankees had Juan Soto. Picture that lineup without him. Even if you want to just go and say, oh, add Bregman and add Alonso to it, like add Santander, whatever. It's not having Soto next to Judge is something that you cannot duplicate. You can't do it. It is those two guys that they are both one of a kind guys that you can't replace. It's irreplaceable, and they will be a worse team if they do not have Soto on it. They know what they're losing. And then with the Mets, they have more money than God. They clearly want to spend it. This guy is, Steve Cohen, is desperate to put a winning team on the field. Obviously, the Red Sox seem to want to spend money, but if you'd asked anyone a month and a half ago, like, I was laughing at the notion that the Red Sox, like, I thought it was a waste of time to even talk about Juan Soto in the context of the Red Sox. So consider me skeptical that the Red Sox are going to get as desperate as those teams. Occam's razor, Pat, right there. Sometimes the easiest answer is the right answer. I don't want to pour cold water on Red Sox fans' hopes. I don't want to do that. I want Juan Soto on this team. He was my original white whale. I'm skeptical. And if you listen to me and Rob on Baseball Isn't Boring, that dropped, I believe, on Saturday. Yeah, I believe it was Saturday. I said I was at 10%. I was ready to jump it a little bit when that Randy Miller WFAN thing came in. And then when I got told to pump the brakes a little bit, that kind of put me right back to the 10%. I'll say it, the easiest answer is sometimes the right answer.
One thing I do want to say is this is not like boom or bust. This is not like if they do not get Juan Soto, they are going to do what they do last year and just add on the margins, do nothing, whatever. They are going to get an ace pitcher. I can almost 100% guarantee that. They will get one of, if not two of, Freed, Burns, Crochet. That is a, in my head, that is a fact that will happen. I have no qualms about that. On top of that, they will absolutely be, if they do lose it on Soto, they will absolutely be in on the Adamases, the Teoscars, that kind of cluster of right-handed.
Can I add something to that, Pat? Yeah. Even if they lose out on Juan Soto, I just, until Vlad Guerrero, and I know I'm always the one honking on Vlad Guerrero, but until he gets extended, if they're willing to pay this kind of money for Juan Soto, and I'm not saying Vlad is worth the same as Soto, but Vlad's another guy that's going to hit the market in a year as an incredibly young free agent, exactly the kind of guy that the Red Sox seem to be willing to pay. They did it with Devers. They're willing to do it with Soto. Vlad's the next one, and I don't think there's another one coming after him for a long time. So I wouldn't rule a pursuit of him out. I don't know if the Blue Jays would trade him to the Red Sox. I think they probably wouldn't. I think that's maybe a pursuit for down the road. But if Soto doesn't work out, like you're saying, Pat, I still think the Red Sox are going to have a really big offseason. I think they're going to put a competitive team on the field. And I know it's going to be tough because once you get your heart set on Juan Soto, even an ace like Max Fried doesn't quite get the blood pumping the same way. But I like just remind yourself where we were in like March of 2024 here, where the Red Sox wouldn't spend a literal dime. And now it's like, oh, if they miss out on Soto, like, hey, at least they'll still probably get an ace. Like, that's a pretty good spot to be in, especially when you have arguably the best farm system in baseball and a good base of players at the big league level.
Like, if they miss out on Soto, let's say they miss, they go out and they get Fried, they get, let's say, Bieber, Tanner Scott, and we'll say Teoscar. That is a playoff roster. That is not like a, we did nothing, we'll try and compete for the wild card. That is a legit roster that does contend for the division. And that's before Campbell, Roman, Teal. That's before any of those guys even come up. That is a very legit rotation, bullpen roster.
And that, Pat, to add to that, we still don't know if the Yankees are going to be the team to retain Juan Soto. We don't know what the Orioles are doing at the top of their rotation. Like, obviously, we talk a lot about the Yankees maybe losing Soto. The Orioles are looking like they're probably going to lose Burns. And yeah, maybe they're going to add a top of the rotation starter to replace him, but it's not going to, you're probably not going to get the production that you got from Burns out of that guy.
No, absolutely. If the Red Sox added one starting pitcher, they are likely in the wild card, if not a half game out of it last season. If they do that, plus another starter, plus the bullpen, you're not losing anybody substantial aside from Kenley and Chris Martin. You could argue Tyler O'Neill, but if you replace that right-handed bat, that is equal in my eyes. They are not far from being a playoff team, and it's so easy to get there, even if they miss out on Soto.
Right. And I don't want to like we'll put a bow on the post Soto stuff here, because obviously the focus until he signs is going to remain on Juan Soto. Obviously Blake Snell off the board. We haven't even touched on that on this show. He was quickly becoming my kind of first choice out of the starting pitchers. I don't know if I put him ahead of Burns just yet, but looking at his shit from the second half of the season, how good he was the best pitcher in baseball. That coming off the board, especially before Soto, is tough, because now it's like if they miss Soto, it's like now you're back to kind of having to be all in on pitching. But I dropped a video kind of explaining my thoughts there. Pat, I want to get yours, but yeah, it's kind of just like a wake up call. And if they miss out on Soto, it's going to be another wake up call that, yeah, like We hear all these things. We hear all these good things. But again, they don't have an ace until they get an ace. They don't have a middle of the order bat to go next to Devers until they have a middle of the order bat to go next to Devers. They don't have a closer until they get a closer.
Yeah. So for me, Snell was my 1B.
Who's the 1A?
I can't even say that because in my eyes, Corbin is like the best pitcher not named Roki Sasaki. So he's one, I guess. But 2A, 2B was kind of Snell and Fried. I personally wanted Fried just because I think the way he pitches to soft contact, he doesn't rely on velo. That's a guy that I think is going to age a little more gracefully. The other thing, too, is Snell very rarely gives you that depth in games. Yes, he is a phenomenal pitcher. His strikeout numbers are literally the best ever, K per nine. But if he goes 4 2/3, 5 innings every 5 days, that's taxing on the bullpen. And we saw what that did to our bullpen last year. Fried is a consistent six. I think he threw 2 complete games this year. Like, that is a guy that you just need an absolute horse at the front of the rotation. And that is a Max Fried or Corbin Burns.
Yeah. And it kind of, the reporting kind of got swept under the rug a little bit, but Alex Speer did say that Snell was kind of a secondary target for them. So I don't think this was a case of the Red Sox like getting outbid for their guy and now they're scrambling. I'm sure they're not thrilled that he's off the board, but understood the possibility that the guy who didn't sign until spring training last year probably wanted to get off the board a little bit earlier this offseason. That makes sense. So hopefully, you know, their plan A is what happens. I hope that they're in the market for Fried. I hope they're in the market for Burns. I hope they're in the market for Crochet. I wouldn't rule out Luis Castillo. That's another one that I've heard some buzz about kind of since the Who Says No thing. The Who Says No thing, we dropped that. And then it was buzz that it felt like it was legit buzz, not just in response to the Who Says No, legit Luis Castillo buzz that, you know, I think if another one of these pitchers goes off the board, maybe you'll hear a little bit more about it. And again, I've said on this podcast before that the Mariners, I've heard, are willing to trade him. But it seems like maybe the Red Sox will be interested there too. We'll see on that. But yeah, I mean, and it's all going to be one after the other. And it's all going to, I think, start as soon as Soto signs. Pat, any final words on this before we get to these listener questions that we got in the DMs?
Just can't be the winter meetings. I think it's going to be so much when Soto signs, it's just going to open the floodgates. Last year, people said the same thing about Ohtani, but the difference was the free agent market last year sucked. Aside from Snell, Chapman was an okay hitter, obviously a great defender, but he's not he's not a superstar that you would give this mega contract to. Montgomery was coming off a really good season in Texas, and then he was never an ace. There was just a lot of weird free agents that it almost felt like they were looking for too much than what they were worth. There's no questions about this year. Fried is a guy. Mm-hmm. Burns is a guy. Adames is a guy. Those guys know their market, and they have that market. And it's going to go fast once Soto signs.
Yeah, I think so. I think it could be – it's been compared to that – to the winter meetings where Boris signed Gerrit Cole and Strasburg and Rendon, and guys just kind of went off the board one by one by one. Maybe we'll see a little bit of that depending on how quickly Soto goes off the board. Obviously, the earlier the better for our sake. I mean, I'm ready for the Soto saga to end, but – it's
better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe, why don't we bring you in here? Because Joe's got the listener questions ready to rip. So let's see, Joe.
What's up, fellas? Yeah, let me pull up this list of questions here. So, okay, here we go. We got a lot of them, so we're just going to filter through all these. Nate is asking, this is kind of a fun one, that if you could have one player from the Red Sox on past teams to put on this team in their prime, who would it be and why? And then Nate also adds that entertainment value versus actual value adding could be two very different players. So, general question, any Sox player in the past, in their prime, would fit on this team. Who would you pick?
It's tough. Do you go pitcher or hitter? I think for me, I'm going to take Manny Ramirez because I think he checks all the boxes, both from the need where it's like you need a right-handed power bat, right-handed just elite right-handed bat, but also entertainment value. There was no one more entertaining than Manny. There was no one better than Manny. So give me Manny for both production and entertainment purposes. I'm not going with the pitcher.
I'm going to make this a lot harder because I'm not going to say Pedro.
Okay.
I'm actually going to go Pedroia.
Oh, I think like that too.
The leadership in the defense and the obviously playing second base, those are like the three biggest things haunting the Red Sox right now. If you put 2008, 2009 Pedroia on this team as a legit Gold Glove all-star second baseman with that leadership, I'm going Pedroia.
I like that one. That would have been my answer too. I definitely would have been Pedroia, considering that defense and
I like it,
and leadership are the big ones. Let's see. We got Mike here actually getting into the spirit and has a who says no deal, and it involves the Oakland A's. So Mike's deal has the Athletics trading away Brent Rooker and Shea Langeliers for Willy Abreu, Cutter Crawford, Connor Wong, and Masataki Yoshida. What do you guys think? Who says no?
I'll go first.
What? Well, hold on. What's the A's aren't going to do this if they have to take on Yoshida.
Yeah, Mike does say that they're going to eat the 40. Or he doesn't say who's going to eat the $45 million, but someone's eaten the contract of Yoshida.
He must mean the Red Sox. Let's assume for the sake of discussion that he means the Red Sox. If it's the A's eating that, they say no. We know about the A's. We know about the A's.
Yeah, pretty comfortably. So I get where the idea comes. So Rooker obviously would be an absolute
perfect
grand slam fit. Langeliers, I do think quite literally, is one of the worst defensive blocking catchers in the league. He has crazy pop over the last 2 years, which literally came out of nowhere.
And he's got crazy pop time with the arm. He's a good thrower.
So I have it right there. Caught stealing, 92nd percentile, pop time, 86. So he's got an absolute laser. So does Connor Wong. He is first percentile blocks above average and 12th percentile in framing. You're literally just trading for Connor Wong with pop.
And Connor Wong had reasonable pop last year too. Well, how many? Yeah. But Langeliers had. Did he have over 20 homers last year?
Oh, he had 29.
Oh God.
Yeah. So you're essentially, I would call that a wash. The Wong and the Langeliers. Yeah, like Rooker would be nice. But Joe, what was going back besides Yoshida and Abreu?
It was Abreu, Yoshida, Cutter, and Wong.
Yeah, like the A's would never do that, even if the Sox ate money. But I like the idea of Rooker, but the whole package as a total, there's no way the A's would do that, I don't think.
I got to send you guys something in a group chat. I'll but to answer, I'll send it to you guys right now. This is crazy. But to answer your question on the trade, I think the A's say no. I think with Rooker has a sneaky amount of team control, which it feels like he's been around for a while, but he just never really ate service time because he didn't really get much major league time until he got great. I think the A's, if they're going to trade both those guys, like Langoliers, obviously, you know, Pat pointed out his warts, and, you know, obviously he's got power, but obviously he's got warts at the plate too with the strikeouts. And what was his batting average last year, Pat? Do you have that in front of you?
It was 224.
224.
So the other thing,
he's not perfect.
With 29 home runs, he still only had a 738 OPS.
Yeah, there you go. So he's not perfect, but he is still an asset, former top prospect pedigree. I think the A's want more if they're going to trade Rooker. I think if they're trading Rooker, it's not even just that they're going to want someone in the big four. They're going to want one of Anthony Campbell Meyer. Like, they're going to want an elite prospect. And I think that's why, to this point, they've been reluctant to trade him. But I like where your head's at, Mike. I just think that it's not like Crochet where the White Sox are looking to trade the guy. The A's are going to have to be blown away to deal a guy like Rooker. So I think you're going to have to add a little bit more, but Rooker's a great fit. I like the idea of Langoliers. If you're getting Langoliers, maybe you're open to the idea of including Kyle Teal in a trade like that. Maybe that's where the next iteration of this trade goes. But I like the idea. Just think you need a little bit more.
Yeah, just a minor tweak. Minor tweak, yeah. Add another piece or two. Let's get to one more here since we're coming up on the end here. Frank asks about Roman Anthony. He says, do you think the Red Sox think that Roman Anthony will be on the opening day roster?
I'll go first on this. I think they don't. I think they're going to build the roster so that you're not reliant on Roman Anthony or Christian Campbell or Kyle Teal, and obviously for Marcelo Meyer, who hasn't even played in AAA yet. I think they're going to build a roster that is able to take the field on opening day, barring injuries, of course, without those guys. And those guys can get the AAA at-bats that they need so that they're called up when they're ready to get called up, not necessarily when the team needs them, needs like a boost. So I think they don't necessarily want him to be ready on opening day, but if he is ready on opening day, or sorry, I shouldn't say they don't want him to be ready. They're not going to want to need him on opening day, but if he's banging down the door, they'll do it. I think they'll do it if he's forcing their hand, if he's that great in spring training. I think they would do it, but I don't think they're going to build the roster so that Roman Anthony's penciled in to the opening day lineup in like January.
Yeah, I'm with Gordo. I think like he's only 20. Yes, he's the number one prospect in baseball. He's done everything you could possibly want to see from rookie ball all the way up through AAA. But there is kind of this cautionary tale of Jackson Holliday. He looked every bit of a major leaguer. He comes up and absolutely flounders. I think the Sox are going to be a little bit more protective of that, but I think they're also not naive enough to think that he's not going to be in the majors this year. They know that he will be in the majors this year. He is that good. So I think that they'll plan accordingly. They'll have a full team on opening day. But what I do think is that maybe on the bench, or maybe kind of like they will kind of pre-plan for Roman for like the summertime. Maybe they don't add utility lefty outfielder. I know, like, they'll just stick with Ref Snyder. Maybe they'll move Abreu, and then that way they have whoever they signed for left, Rafaela, Durant, whatever. There will be a spot for Roman when he comes up, but I do not think they will plan for Roman to be in the opening day lineup.
The way I look at it, Pat, is just, and I've said this before, but just a year ago, 2023, Jaren Duran didn't make the opening day roster. Like, that, they had Adam Duvall in the lineup every day, and then when he got hurt, Duran got his chance, and he never looked back. That's going to be how these guys get in there. I mean, maybe I think Christian Campbell is the one who has the best chance to make the opening day roster and start on opening day, just because I don't think they're going to want to sign a full time second baseman to take that job. I think they're going to have Campbell and Vaughn Grissom and David Hamilton kind of deke it out in spring training and compete. And if Campbell wins it, he wins it. But I think there's going to be openings throughout the season for all four of these big four guys to make their debuts. Opening day wise, though, I think the safest bet would be none, or if you want to pick one, it would be Campbell. Joe, that's probably, we're going up on time. I think that's probably a good place to put a pin.
Yeah, there's so many of them we need to filter out, but we are up against the time.
Yeah, but I guess we can go to some Nuff Said before we get on out of here. Pat, you got anything for us?
I do. I am ready to have the conversation that Terry McLaurin is a top five receiver in the NFL. This is the first time in his entire career that he has had a legitimate quarterback, and the guy is a monster. Not to mention, he has been like Mike Evans light. Like Mike Gordon, you probably know better than I do. It's 9 straight years of 1,000 yards.
I don't know the number, but it's something crazy.
It's something. He's the only one to do it. Like, it's something genuinely absurd. And Terry's like not far off that mark. And now that they have a legit capable head coach and a good wide receiver, he is phenomenal. He is so good. And it drives me nuts that the Patriots cannot find a single soul like him. It is so aggravating because he is that good. And he was a second round pick. That's my case. I'm just saying Terry's top five, and the Patriots very easily could have a guy like that, and they just choose to pick the N'Keal Harrys and the Jalen Polks of the world.
Well, that's where the frustration is you take N'Keal Harry and you look at like DK Metcalf and Deebo Samuel who get taken after, and then you look at Jalen Polk who gets taken. They traded out of the Ladd McConkey. Like, they could have had Ladd McConkey, and they traded out of that to take Jalen Polk instead.
You have no idea how many times I hear about that on the Six Rings postgame show. On
yeah. Well, it's truly brutal. But yeah, Joe's got to live this. Joe has to live this.
there's at least 3 mentions by Nick Fitzy Stevens about Ladd McConkey, because he made me a fan, and I'm totally with Pat that like he was right there, but instead you go with Jalen Polk. It's like, what are we doing?
I have it up right now, and I need you guys to remember who his quarterbacks were. We're talking like Alex Smith, Marcus Mariota, Sam Howell. Came in the league in 2019.
Who was the guy who won a playoff game with them? I'm forgetting his name.
Is it Case Keenum?
Not Case Keenum. There was another guy.
Not RG3, is it?
Not RG3. He lost to Tom Brady in the playoffs, too.
Oh, Taylor Heineke.
Yes.
Him. Yes. Yep. So again, those are his quarterbacks. His year-by-year totals, 919, 1,100, 1,053, 1,200, 1,000. And he's already at 823, not including today. This guy's a monster. And meanwhile, N'Keal Harry is a tight end for who now?
Thy got released, I think.
For the Arena League.
Shame. He's trying to break out one of these days.
Yeah.
He'll be in the rocks like XFUFL or whatever that shit is.
I'll hold my hand up. I didn't make this take on this podcast or anything, but everyone who was saying Terry McLaurin was going to be a big time like fantasy receiver this year because he had a quarterback, I kind of scoffed at it. I was like, okay, this guy's had chances over and over again. I know he hasn't had good quarterbacks, but come on. But no, I was wrong. Hand up. I'll admit when I'm wrong.
Okay. Right,
Joe, do you have enough said?
I'll go. I'll sort of take it in a somewhat different direction. I'll try and get it local and still talk football. I'm having this inner conflict about Jerod Mayo because I like the guy. I think he's a great I'm talking like human wise. Like, he seems like very personable. I was excited when I heard that he would get named the coach. But week after week go by, and I don't know what I want to do. Like, I feel like, do the Pats bring him back? Do you can him after 1 year? Because it looks like utter fucking chaos. It feels like every single week. And the coaching decisions, not just in-game, but like the comments in the post-game and all these press conferences make me be like, Jerod, no. So it's like, I need you guys to help me with this inner conflict. I want to like the guy, but I also need to formulate an opinion with my head and not my heart.
I'll give you my take on Mayo, because obviously if you watch the games, you follow the writers on Twitter and you see clips from the press conferences, it looks bad. But I'm always of the mindset that with first-year coaches, I don't like firing first-year coaches. I don't like one-and-dones. I don't want the teams that I root for to fall into the habit of developing that reputation as the team that fires guys one and done. Because guess what? When you fire Jerod Mayo, yeah, you'll get a new guy, but you're not going to be fishing in the best tiers of the coaching candidates if you're firing guys one and done, because then that's the reputation you got. I obviously make changes as necessary, but it goes, to me, the same boat for offensive coordinators. The Patriots wanted multiple different offensive coordinators before settling on AVP this year. Couldn't get them to come there. Obviously, A, in part... Oh my God, my dog is sneezing. Bless you, Chester. Wow. That'll take you right out of your thought. Yeah, they wanted different guys, but they've basically had what, like three offensive coordinators in four in 4 years or something right now? Like that reputation develops, and obviously they don't have the pieces on offense, but like what head coaching candidate is going to want to join this team with the state of the team, with every player on the team that is not Drake May and Christian Gonzalez and Christian Barmore? So yeah, I think you got to keep him. That's where I'm at.
I am slowly getting on the Mayo fire train, but I don't think they will. I think what they should do is kind of like a new GM, like a Breslow or someone like that. You kind of get somebody who's been a GM before under them, like an associate head coach. Like they need somebody who's been there, done that. It doesn't have to be successfully, just someone who like knows the ins and outs of managing the clock. Cause that has been Mayo's biggest thing, is not challenging, very easily challengeable plays. The field goal today, there's no excuse to try and kick a 68-yard field goal. There's no excuse for that. And then the timeout management and like just handling the media. Like there's just a lot of like stuff that he lacks a lot in. I think getting kind of like a mentor on his staff and working on those kind of intangible things will go a long way for next year. So I'm not saying fire Mayo, but I'm getting there. Like if he keeps making the same small mistakes that not necessarily cost them games, but at least the game's getting out of reach and non, like you can point out from your couch, everyone knows to do this, you didn't do that. You got to get rid of that before the end of the season, or else maybe I am on the fire Mayo train. But right now, I think that's what I would do. Get someone with some experience, head coach, work on that stuff. But yeah, I'm also indifferent, Joe.
Yeah, I'm sort of on the lines of let's give it some time. Let's let some more things play out. Like if they look absolutely lifeless in their final four games, then I'll probably get on that train with you and we'll ride it to the station wherever Mike Vrabel is and said, hey, can you come coach here, please? So
that was the mistake. That was the mistake, was hiring Jerod Mayo 5 years ago. Holy shit, he is still sneezing.
That's a good enough said, Gordo.
Yeah. No, I've got a couple enough sets. First off, Marino Pepin's tweeting that his sources in the Dominican Republic say that Juan Soto is coming to Boston. For the millionth time on this podcast, I caution you to believe him because he has yet to be right on any report that is purely his. This is a rare report that I think is not purely his, because I think he's piggybacking off other people, and I think he's piggybacking off of other people that are wrong. So hopefully Juan Soto comes to Boston. I don't know that it's a done deal. It's certainly not that. But my other enough said, this is something I've wanted to say. It's been a little while since it, but I mentioned I posted that selfie video before, and I was getting some comments on there about like, oh, he's copying Tyler Milliken. He's going off of what Jared says or whatever. Just my quick thoughts on that, because the selfie video is something that I've seen media personalities do on Twitter for years. And it's always been, I thought, a really good way to convey ideas and give your takes after big things happen. I wanted to give myself a chance to grow a little bit more on the website before I started doing them. And when so I did listen to the Section 10 where Jared said it to Tyler, suggested it, and I thought that would be a great idea for me. So yeah, I went off that advice. I thought it was great advice. I thought it was a great idea. I wish that people could just let me do it without the crappy comments, because it's not an us versus them thing. Like we're all Red Sox people. We all love the same thing. We all have the same passion, and we all want the same things to happen, and we all do the same stuff. We just talk about the Red Sox. Like there's no like competition or bad blood or anything. Like, I think we just all want an outlet to talk Sox, and I think it's great that we all have that. So I'm gonna keep doing it. It was, I think, a little bit disheartening to hear, you know, some of the comments that were said on their show, maybe alluding to some of the other people doing the selfie videos. I don't know. Obviously, they didn't name drop me or anything, but it was a little bit like, it kind of felt semi-targeted, but I don't know how targeted it was. I don't want to, like, again, there's no bad blood or anything. Like, I love those guys. They're all awesome at what they do, and they're all really great guys. I just, with the selfie videos, like, there's no monopoly on who can post selfie videos. Like, we're all just talking Sox. I'm going to keep doing it. I think it was a great idea. I hope they keep doing it. I hope they do it more. I think it's great for Twitter. I think it's great for dropping quick takes when you may not have a podcast that night. But yeah, I think it's great to do them. I hope that everyone who wants to do them does them, and there's no gatekeeping for it. Pat?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think there's no, everything you said, like, there's no gatekeeping on that. We know all the Section 10 guys. We are friends with all the Section 10 guys. That being said, Gordo, I do think there may be an opening in Walking Bets video cell. Maybe another avenue to pursue as well.
Gordo, people are just mad that you don't have, like, Chester's awesome, but people don't understand how awesome he is to do that walk the dog that Lou does, and you don't have the two friends on your chest to do those walking bets. That's what people are mad about.
Here's the thing. If I did the dog walking thing, that would be a little copycatty, I think. Like, that is Lou's thing. Like, you walk the dog and you talk Sox, that is Lou. But if you talk Sox, that's anyone's thing. So we love the Sox. We love the Section 10 guys. There's no bad blood. Let's just talk Sox and post videos and not get mad at other people for posting videos. Cool? Cool. Glad we're on.
Cool.
We're going to wrap it there.
Look, Twitter's a cesspool. We've learned that over the past week, over Thanksgiving. It's a damn cesspool.
Not only was it a cesspool for Sox rumors, today I was on Twitter and I was scrolling, and I had the same 2-second video of, like, a hand grasping a gun. And that was a video in, like, 15 or 20 straight tweets on my feed. That website is a disaster right now. Like, we need to get that shit together. But yeah, let's wrap it up there. We've been at this for a hot minute, but we appreciate you guys tuning in, and we're going to be back. I don't even want to give an exact date for our next podcast. Usually we would be Wednesday for our next show. And so I guess maybe that should be the plan for right now, but I don't want to commit to that being the next show, because I think there's plenty chance at this stage in the game. We are on to December. So emergency podcasts are on the table. I think we're going to have at least one this offseason for this show. I hope we have more. It might be 2 or 3. We'll see. So keep your eyes out for those. But if not, yeah, probably we'll see you Wednesday. But we appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember to subscribe everywhere you're getting your podcast. Subscribe, rate 5 stars. Go to YouTube. We're on the WEI page. We got a playtesting playlist there that has all the episodes. So you can subscribe to WEI. You can hit the thumbs up on the videos. And you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Playtessie on both of those platforms. For Pat and for Joe, it's Goro here for Playtessie. This edition, episode 155, talking Juan Soto. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.